The Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network. Our guest, Lisa Fontana. Welcome, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Well, I'm all excited because I know you're going to help us with everything we need to know to cast a vote. And that seems that seems like the holy grail of American politics right now. If there was ever a time when things are muddled, confused, contradicting the media every 12 hours, it seems to be the opposite of what we thought it was the 12 hours before. Welcome to the sorting out. Where do we begin?
Well, the first place that I like everyone to begin when I run my seminars is we sort of do that cleansing breath, and I remind everybody that at the end of the day, it's just about you and me and a small thing called America that we want to turn right side up and upside down. So the first thing I like to tell everybody is there are other places to go to get factual information than keeping up with the media every 3 or 4 minutes. And if you don't want to get caught up in all the small things, then you start first with your own personal body of opinions. And then you kind of work out from there to find out who is running, not the pundits and all the surrogates, but of the people who is running, which person is actually speaking to the things that are important to you. Does that make sense?
Indeed. And, you know, what occurs to me is one theme I hear, and I'll be curious your reaction to it. Jobs, jobs, and jobs, right? Number one with people. Number two, safe, safe, safe from enemies and stuff like ISIS. And maybe we could throw a third one in. Grab your wallet. Is it going to be more taxes? If those are your premises, can you work out from there? Is that a good starting point?
Yes. One of the things that I think helps that so many people... We do have our own body of opinions, but we've never listed them out. That's how I used to be, and it made it really confusing to try and listen to everyone because you're getting yanked in a lot of different directions. But once you kind of get down to something that really is bothering you, I know for me and a lot of women that I know, feeling safe and also knowing that our jobs are going to be there, that's pretty important. So I start with places to find factual information so that you can vote with more confidence. So you list out those things. If it's the economy, what specifically, you know, the economy is a pretty big thing. What's bothering you? What's scaring you? So if I'm worried that if I lose my job, I don't have the skills I need to get into another position, or that maybe my career isn't something that is as prolific as it used to be, maybe it's been shipped overseas, what am I going to need to do if I need to move on? And so if I need to do that, then I want to know that there's somebody out there who wants to run this country who is kind of thinking of all the different aspects. And to me, a good way to do it is to look for these other places, other websites, like Real Clear Politics or even C-SPAN and publicintegrity.org, just as good places to get factual but balanced information so you don't have all these people in your head who are pushing an agenda. Does that make sense?
It does. And how tough that is, right? You bring up C-SPAN. I think we all, especially people in my business, right? I've been on the air 40 years. It's one of the great resources to make yourself better informed. But it's almost drowned out by the circus that goes on in some of the main cable networks, whether it's on one side with Fox or the other side with MSNBC. Is it possible to find enough objective information to really get a handle on these issues?
My personal opinion is yes, and mostly because at the end of the day, we get treated by the media, sad to say, mostly like we can't make up our minds. And also, I think they believe we want to hear all the pettiness throughout the day when they don't understand that we're really preoccupied with the working, the paying, the living, and the dying. We've got a lot going on. We would rather just... We're all in it together. I mention a lot to the people I train that Congress, government in general, they've sort of broken that social contract. They're not really there for us the way they're supposed to be. But you and I, we have a great social contract. We take care of each other. We hold doors open for each other. If we hear that someone's lost, we step in and, oh, let me help you with those directions. So because we already have pretty good heads on our shoulder, when you just list out the things that are most important to you and really flesh them out for you, there is a chapter in my book that talks about honing and shaping your own body of opinions. once you have that, it's like your personal living document. And now you start going on to the places you can trust. And at the end of the day, you're right. There's no way for anybody to be 100% unbiased. Even for me, I'm sure, you know, I love to train with cupcakes and welcome and happy, and no matter how bad the day is, you're always going to find something positive for me. Well, that's going to be biased. I'm biased toward everybody being happier. But you do your best, and then I feel you use your own personal intuition off of your own list, off of what you've heard, and then using reflective thought. Media doesn't want us to do that, but reflective thought is, instead of just reacting to the newest little distraction, you really thinking over time and really taking your time and letting answers come to you, and then writing down why you feel that way, and it starts to solidify. And I'm not saying that you then can't have your opinion swayed if things change, but the noise starts to fall away and you start feeling like you can totally do this.
One of the things that used to help us do it and is in very short supply, it's alarming to me, I'm reading here, 42 states across the country do not teach civics at all anymore. And that makes sense that 90 million people have never voted before. Give me what you think is the important lesson from those two facts.
It's something that's always bothered me, that if one person doesn't know something, three or four, that's fine. But when you start finding out that millions of people from every walk of life, from every age group, they don't vote, they don't know how, they're afraid of the system. I have people who, they didn't know what a polling place was, and once they did, they associated it with the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles, and they said, oh my, I don't want anything to do with that. They really don't understand anything. And when you start seeing it rampant, then you have to stop saying, oh, that's just lazy Americans, and you have to start saying, well, hang on. I know what 2 + 2 is because I had a teacher who taught me. We aren't making this very important. There's actually a study at the Tufts University in Massachusetts, and they found that most states, they don't emphasize civic education at all. And that includes, it's just this huge swath. It's a citizenship, government, law, current events, and then related topics like patriotism, what patriotism is, and why we want to keep it sacred. When you break that social contract by saying it's no longer important, then it's less surprising to me to start seeing states working to sort of subvert your voting rights and kind of enjoying the fact that fewer people are voting. It's great to say that we're all sort of dumb and apathetic, but it's just not so. To me, this is a huge problem, but it's also really easy to fix with just a tiny bit of information and then us extending ourselves to each other as ambassadors.
You know, when I read your background, that you are a former actor, voiceover artist, extensive media experience, and now a deputy voter registrar for Illinois, I love that. Tell us about that transition. How did it become important enough in your life to change career directions?
It was very strange to me. The last election that we had, that just confused me. George Bush the second, he was voted in for his second term, and I hadn't even gone to vote. And then all of a sudden, there was this explosion of so many people saying, gee, I don't know how he won, or of course he won. There's this whole battle, and I thought, this seems really important. And I didn't even know it was voting day, let alone did I ever go out and cast a vote. And I started looking into it, and I started opening myself up and asking people about voting. And their response was so mean that it kind of got my back up. I'm from Chicago, so I'm sort of used to just being a little bit tougher, and not that you don't take people's stuff, but for heaven's sake, if you don't know something and you've put yourself out there to ask a question, the response back shouldn't be to yell at someone about them shirking their patriotic duty and not helping out their countrymen. So I started looking around for a book to help me so I wouldn't look so dumb in public, and I couldn't find it. And the deal is, if you can't find a book you need, you're probably supposed to write it.
Right.
I began research, and I learned, I met more people in politics, and I found out that it's such a cool place to be. It supports every aspect of what we're all trying to do, even to go back to acting. Understanding business and how we're stopped or helped by how the government functions and regulations, it's very freeing once you're in the know. But a lot of people aren't. And the more I did it, the more people started tapping me on the shoulder and saying, hey, I've never voted before, and I hear you haven't either. So many hushed tones. I thought, oh, I'm done with that. We're going to make this a big issue, and I'm going to push myself out there, expose my ignorance, and get more people to just lean in and fix it. And gosh darn it, that's what happened, and that's how I ended up here.
Wow. You know, when you said that, I immediately thought of Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In. I guess there is a time at every level where it's not good enough to be in the back of the stadium in the cheap seats. Sometimes you got to get closer to it to know what you're watching, right?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. And I think that for so many people, we don't realize how sensitive people are, even the toughest people out there. You just don't realize that people are more fragile. So when you're already feeling overwhelmed, if you've got children, that's such a hard job. If your own job hasn't grown financially or you're taking care of a sick parent, you're really preoccupied. And when you think about stepping into an arena as it's vast, it's like a rabbit hole called government or politics, that very hot button word. And nobody deserves to have it be that way. Our country is built and founded on everybody's great ideas. When I teach my seminars, I wear a lab coat because America is the great experiment. Everybody should feel comfortable stepping up. And because they don't, someone like me should go as far to the front as they can so that I can invite more people just to lean in. I don't want you to tumble down the whole hole with me,
right,
but to just feel comfortable. If you can learn enough so that you feel comfortable choosing who you want to vote for, and you start waking up to what's around you, where you feel like you could make a difference, you'll also know you're welcome and wanted to make that difference. And that's what I've seen people do as a result of not just the book, but the seminars. We train with cupcakes and fun hair color and confetti and balloons. That's, I get very serious about this.
Now, this is good. I'd like to know a little bit more. They're called Welcome Party Seminars, right?
Correct. So we have things like Silly Putty. I put my hair up in cupcakes so that I'm very non-intimidating. We sometimes do yoga. People sit on the floor. I invite you to come, whatever your age. If you've got kids with you, if you've got your dog with you in the library lecture, come on in. And we just start talking about the tools that you don't know. A lot of people don't know what a polling place is. They don't know what it means to vote, what a ballot is, the difference between a primary and an actual general election. And because you can't say it, there's that terrible shame, so people aren't comfortable. But I just throw it out on the table, and I do it with Play-Doh. And if you're going to have to do this, the best thing to do is to let people get into it. We spray our hair with red, white, and blue, and green, and purple, just so you understand that everybody's got these, I call it the political rainbow of colors that make up who we are. Your stories, your experiences, those things make up why you might vote a certain way or lean a certain way. And it's not enough for me to call you a Republican, an independent, a Democrat. I should understand who you are, because once it's about the stories of who we are, it stops being a fight and it starts being a compromise where we all get together and we work on making the country better, and it stops being divisive.
Gosh,
and that's the outcome of that is lack of
I'm sorry to interrupt there, but when you said the word compromise, you said it like such a positive term. You must marvel the way I do that a compromise has almost become a misdemeanor in today's politics.
You're not wrong, and it makes me a little bit sad, because I always hearken it back to the it's a children's book, The Starbelly Sneeches.
Right.
It's a Dr. Seuss book. And so there's all these people on the beach, and they've got these stars, and they're more important, and you're less. And by the end of the entire book, the machine comes through and everybody is half of this and some of that, and they stop being concerned about the star and they start thinking about each other.
Lisa, mostly, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mostly people don't think about each other. We do, you and I, regular people. The media, they're not good at that, and also the government, I hate to say it, but they're a bit misguided in not understanding that it's about me and you and you and me, the people. But once you get that, compromise is more like, hey, I didn't understand that what was going on in Susan's life. That makes sense to me. Let's talk about that. You know, you give and you take, because that's how we all make it happen.
Indeed. Lisa Fontana is the author of Me the People, The Tools to Help You Decide on and Vote for the Next President of the United States of America. I guess a final area I want to explore and kind of get your reaction to this. Does your gut tell you that we could unleash the 90 million who have never voted? Is that possible? I mean, self-determination has driven Western civilization for hundreds of years now. And when you see that number of Americans sitting it out, what's your guess? Are we going to get much better at this, or are we going to have to just chip away at it one small piece in every election cycle? Or could there be a tidal wave of re-inclusion of people eligible to vote?
I absolutely believe in a tidal wave. And the reason I do is I have these little magnets on the side of my car, and everywhere I go, I wear my logo, and I have a little note that says, please bother me. I know everything there is to know about voting if you want to vote. And I cannot tell you the number of people who will come over. Some are angry, some are sad, some are embarrassed, but they all want to understand how to do it. I think about if you step up to the gates of Disney World and you want to go in, somebody will come take you by the hand and say, let me walk you to the booth. Here's your ticket. Give us your money. Come on in. We don't do that with voting. We just don't make people feel welcome and wanted. And so the more seminars I do and the more people that are kind of talking about it, the more people are, I will say this, if you're at home and you're someone who knows how to vote, consider the next time you hear somebody who hasn't, be an ambassador. Instead of that nut, that reaction of saying, oh, how dare you, that's unpatriotic, lean in and say, gosh, I'm sorry no one ever showed you how to do that. If you're interested, I can show you how to register, and I can walk you through the process. I guarantee you, you'll be just floored by the number of people who will first be shocked, and then they will be grateful, and then they will. I had 1,500 people who emailed me in 2012 who voted simply because they read a book that invited them and told them how very welcome and wanted they were.
You're right. When it comes to a new technology, the concerted effort to get people to adopt it is almost miraculous. In this area, where it could do the most good for society, it's sadly lacking until your type of effort comes along and changes the direction. I'm so appreciative of your time today. How would you like people to follow up with you if they have questions and they want to get to know more about your seminars?
You can easily go to MeThePeopleVote.com, and on there you can contact me. It's got all my contact information. If you're interested in the book, there's a link there that takes you to it. And then, of course, I welcome any questions, and you can contact me right through that website. I'd love to hear from you.
Lisa, you're awesome. Thank you so much for making the time today. Congratulations on the success that you've had so far. But, man, I'm with you. Let's start that tidal wave of participation.
And thank you for talking about it today. I really appreciate you having me on and showing people how easy and cool this can be.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lisa Fontana, our guest on StarCom Radio Network.